Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interview. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Star Wars news, this is the quarantined edition. Oh my God, Ryan scared me. I couldn't tell if we were on or not, but we're live right now. I'm Steph Sabra, so glad to be streaming from my bedroom right now with you all. And I have my co-pilot with us. We also have a very special guest, Ryan Nilsson in the house. Yo. And Ben Cleaver, an actor
Yo.
And a huge Star Wars fan. Ryan's been telling me all about all of your I just saw a tour of your house. It's freaking insane.
Welcome to my den of Star Wars, my friend.
Yeah.
We're so glad to have you, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Ryan's producing us and co-hosting.
Yes.
There's a lot going on over here, but the Force is strong with us, and I'm just happy we're here. I forgot to do my roar up top, but we're here. we all got our Chewies.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, oh, Ben has his?
Mine actually makes the roar.
What?
Yours speaks.
Yeah. It's amazing. Anyways, you guys, a lot of news. I hope everyone's staying safe, washing your hands, social distancing, only going out when you absolutely have to, and also staying positive through it all because we all have each other. And luckily, nothing stops us from getting Star Wars news in. So, and we even had one of our own trending with the quarantine. So we'll get into all of that. We have some movie news, some TV news, some comic book news. So let's just jump right in. Disney released The Rise of Skywalker. There was no deleted scenes, which a lot of fans had anticipated. But we did get a bonus documentary. Ben, what did you think about? Did you buy this? Do you want the deleted scenes?
I haven't purchased it yet, no. I'm probably going to wait until it comes out on disc, to be honest. I still like my hard copies. Deleted scenes, yeah, of course. I want to see deleted scenes. I have my own opinions on the sequel trilogy. I really enjoy them. I want to see what else they did in there. What else they threw in? What other connective tissue we might be able to get out of that?
But will we see it then? I don't think we're going to. The big thing about this VOD release, which I'm happy we got it. There's tons of people stuck at home. This is the time to do something like that. But there's no deleted scenes in this VOD release. There's a behind the scenes documentary that's a full feature length. I haven't had the time to watch it yet. But I mean, that's what I'd be interested in. Is that what you hope to see on Blu-ray?
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm assuming that once we get the Blu-ray version, once we get the hard copy, they're going to include that kind of stuff. Because we know JJ shot more than what we got on the screen. I mean, you watch the movie and you're like, they shot more than this. It's like watching a Harry Potter movie. You're like, there's more story here than we're getting in the edit. Right. So, Yeah, I totally think once they release it on Blu-ray, we're definitely going to get it. Deleted scene package with that.
Ryan, can you move your mic cord to in front? Can you move your mic cord in front?
Yes, I can. I can do that.
Also, can everyone just hold the phone really, really quick? Something really, really, really important happened yesterday. It was the birth of one of my favorite human beings on this entire planet. He goes by the name of Ryan Nilsson. As you guys know, he is one of the most incredible humans. Best co-host ever. So talented on the mic and in the booth and producing. So everyone show Ryan endless amounts of love because his birthday was quarantined.
It was a quarantine edition. And hopefully we'll be able to celebrate in like 2 months. Because...
yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a different birthday. And today's my grandfather's birthday, so shout out to the grandfather. I mean, you were just asking Ben. I did make a Star Wars purchase on my birthday. I too love having the physical copies. Especially Star Wars, I need the physical Blu-ray. But last night I couldn't help myself, and I got some digital checks in the mail for the birthday, and I bought it. I bought Rise of Skywalker on VOD. And I fell asleep watching it last night.
Was that like I said?
Yeah, I was really tired.
Okay. And
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You say it like that, I was like,
oh,
did it just not hit the same?
You know, there's a few things that weren't hitting.
You know, there's a few things that weren't hitting quite the same. But I'm happy I got to watch some of it. I own it now. It was like an impulse buy. Like, I just needed to have it. And I think this week I'm going to watch that feature-length documentary of behind the scenes and maybe talk about it next time, because that I'm really interested in. But it's cool. I just like owning a new Star Wars movie. I still get the chills every time the crawl comes up. I wonder, do you think this was a smart move, Steph, that just put it on VOD this early? I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, why not? I think that they're all just preparing for the worst, which might be months of no new projects being made, which means months of them not making money on new things. So I mean, it's kind of their only choice if they do want some income. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the smart move here is, first of all, it creates goodwill from the masses. You know, Disneyland, Disney World, they're all closed. You know, Onward, for Disney specifically, Onward came out in the theaters and then this whole thing happened. So they're probably going to be taking a loss of some kind on that, I would imagine. And then they just pushed Frozen 2 out. I don't think Frozen 2 was supposed to come out for another couple months. So this is a total goodwill move. I don't think The Rise of Skywalker was supposed to, I think it was supposed to come out next week or something anyway, but yeah, I think it's a goodwill move. I think they're bringing in money from it where they're projecting, you know, potential losses. So yeah, definitely.
A quick shout out to Brandon Hanna in the chat, who did a super chat saying happy birthday. Thank you, Brandon Hanna. You're the man. All-star. And check out Box Office Breakdown with Brandon Hanna every Sunday around 5 p.m. PST.
A quick question. Should I try to wear AirPods right now? Will that help echo?
That would be amazing, Steph.
Okay, so, Ryan, take the ship for a second.
Okay.
Your girl will be right back.
I'm taking the stick. Yeah, so... there's a lot of fun. I mean, that was a pretty big thing.
Are you getting any feedback on my end?
No, you sound great, Ben. You sound as great as Ben Kenobi from beyond the grave, Ben.
Exactly. I haven't gone by the name Obi-Wan since before you were born, which was yesterday.
It was X number of years ago yesterday. What I will say is that was the big thing this week, is that was put online. We're also getting a ton of in these featurettes behind the scenes, we're learning a ton of things. Also, the fact that apparently Alec Guinness, who did play Ben Kenobi, that was the transition there, in Star Wars, his granddaughter actually had a cameo in The Rise of Skywalker, which really shows, you know, regardless of what you thought of the movie, JJ really does have this keen attention to detail that is undeniable, and he has this love of putting in Easter eggs in whatever project he works on. So I think that this is really cool that his granddaughter was in this.
Yeah, me too. I love how they've included, that's now the third family connection we have in the movie. I put up four fingers, third.
Yeah, I mean, and oddly enough, for the longest time, people thought Rey was Obi-Wan's granddaughter, but no. We had the actual granddaughter. Yeah.
She's a failed clone's granddaughter. Didn't you know that?
Oh, that's right. Yikes.
But her
name's Sally.
Wait,
Sally.
Ben.
Yeah.
Wait, I gotta ask Ben. What was your opinion of the new novelization of The Rise of Skywalker, the changes or the additions made to it? What was your reaction and your feelings towards that?
I don't know. So here's my thing. I'm an OG, right? I'm an OG. That's how I'll always explain myself. I've got 4, 5, and 6 on my wall, right?
Yeah.
So I don't hate on anything Star Wars. Mm. I don't. Mm. But the original trilogy is my jam. Everything else is frosting. It's delicious, delicious frosting that adds to it. So a lot of this stuff that comes out that people get so like freaked out about, I'm just like, sure, why not? Like, I love Emperor Palpatine. I freaking love Palpatine. And so when they brought him back in Rise of Skywalker, I was like, yes, I'm here for it. And then they're like, by the way, he's a clone. I'm like, sure, why not? Like, cool. How about that? I don't care. Like, I got more Ian McDiarmid playing the Emperor. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense in a way to tie it back to the prequels and the whole clone thing. So it's not out of left field and crazy for me, you know. And they're trying to tie the task of tying together the prequels, the original trilogy, and the sequels is monumental. It's undoable in my opinion. So they tried to do it. They did it in a certain way, and that's what we have, you know. And so why get, you know, bent out of shape about it?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Ryan and I are like,
we might have freaked out when we heard that.
It's so true. We're both the type that we don't bring it home, but it's so like, why, to me, it's still, why would you do that? I love when things are really, really well thought out because I respect that as a creator. I'm like, you really took the time to make sure this was so fluid and sequential and makes sense. And for that's why it bugs me. I think it's more of a creative thing.
No, I can appreciate that. But again, from my perspective, I'm just like, sure, why not?
It's
like,
still Star Wars and it's still fun.
Yeah. And at that point, I'm just like, you know, it wasn't my decision. If I was making the sequels, I would have probably made three completely different movies. But I wasn't. JJ and Ryan and Disney and Kat Kennedy, and they all did it. And yeah. And so this is what they did, and this is what we have. So I'm like, sure, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Rian Johnson, he was recently, an interview was released of his when he was talking about The Rise of Skywalker, and he was saying how once he saw the fan reaction, he was happy, but he really, really, really wanted a test screening at the time. And said, quote, I would have given my left arm to put this in front of 300 people in Burbank and just see how it plays. I think this is so funny because in the article, it also goes on to say, this is from the writer of the article, clearly the test screenings weren't necessary as the film sits at a 91% positive reviews on the aggregator site Rotten Tomatoes. And I just think that's, it's so funny what perception is with these movies because for so many Star Wars fans, they hate this movie, but for a lot of people, critics, they love the movie. Obviously, it's such a high rating, and it didn't really matter because that's where the rating's going to lie. But it's interesting to know what a lot of our friends and fellow fans thought of that film.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess if the question is, does he? It's interesting that he says he regrets not showing it to test audiences. I don't think I kind of wish he did. Because it might have, I think a lot of people's problems with that movie stem from how things were executed, not the decision itself. And I think that Star Wars, a lot of the times, like, I think you can make any storyline work in Star Wars or really any film. It's just the execution of certain things. And though I favored a lot of the ways he executed certain things in that film, a lot of people didn't. Like an example would be when Leia uses the Force. Like, I think that scene's beautiful. I absolutely love it. However, some people think it looks a little weird. It looks like Mary Poppins. And you could have maybe gotten the same exact effect out of that scene if you executed it a little differently. And maybe that's something he could have gotten out of a test screening. So I think that's pretty fascinating. I think you should do test screenings, especially when it's a big studio film like this. So it's interesting to hear him say he regrets that.
Ben, what do you think? Do you think
it
should have been...
I mean, ultimately, Disney's not going to let you test screen this. It's why they don't do test screens for Marvel movies. The anticipation buildup for these is so great, and the outrage at spoilers is so great that, you know, they're not. I mean, he talks about it in this article. And are we including links to these articles, Ryan?
Yeah, I can put this one in the description.
I mean, the the author even says in the article, it's like, you know, Disney just doesn't do that with these highly anticipated films because of spoilers, because of details leaking out. You know, somebody's going to walk out of that theater in Burbank and be like, guess what happened in the movie?
Yeah.
So I, releasing this statement now, it's, I think there's a, I wrote down 4 points about after I read this article. I said, you know, is this Rian Johnson covering his ass? You know, is it potentially a message to Disney? Hey, you should be doing this. You know, they say in the article, it's pretty much impossible. Is it just to kind of keep The Last Jedi in the limelight, keep the Star Wars franchise in the limelight, to continue to attempt to kind of soften haters' views, particularly mentioning, you know, it's still got the 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, or is it clickbait? You know, is comicbook.com putting this on their website to get people to look at it because it's got the buzzwords, Rian Johnson, it's got Star Wars, it's got, you know, what if things were different, which a lot of people want to consume, so that's great too. But
I don't necessarily think it's that. I think the question is, does he legitimately regret? Does he regret not showing doing a test screening? And but honestly, was that even a thing that was possible because of these restrictions that you're pointing out? Like when it is a movie that's as big as a Marvel film, there are going to be leaks. So do you even run the risk of getting something leaked to getting feedback? I think in hindsight, that might have been a good idea, but obviously we don't know what would have happened.
Yeah, I think, yes, he genuinely would have liked to have had a test screening. No, they wouldn't have done it.
The author was Patrick Cavanaugh, just by the way. We were quoting him in this. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that when if you're going to create something, who are we to tell them how to do it if they really believe in it and your team of hundreds of people are signing off too and no one sounds an alarm like you all are? The directors take a lot of the heat for these films, but there are so many people involved. It really, like, they're just a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I agree.
But in TV news, I know you're our Clone Wars guy, Rye.
Oh, man.
Some big things have been happening. Can you talk about it?
Absolutely. So I'll try to do this pretty quickly. Clone Wars coming out of Disney Plus, which I'm now even more excited for because we're stuck at home, we're quarantined, so we got some quarantine Clone Wars. This week is what we've all been waiting for. This is the week. This is what, you know, I've been shouting at people, like, you got to start watching Clone Wars. You got to get caught up. Now is a better time than any because Ahsoka Tano returns to the small screen this week on Clone Wars. We've already seen her story, what happens after this point, and I've read about it. We interviewed the author, but now we're going to start filling in some of the blanks, and I cannot wait. We're going to see the continuation of her story this Friday, and the author of the Ahsoka Tano novel, E.K. Johnston, shout out to her. She's been hyping it up this week, like, this Friday, we're going to see it, and she's alluded to certain scenes we're going to get in this season of Clone Wars in her book. So I cannot wait. There's a little clip that's online of the episode about her investigating like the underworld of Coruscant, which is really cool because a story that Steph and I were talking about a few weeks ago was there was a George Lucas TV show in mind back in like 2010 about the underworld of Coruscant that could have happened. So now I feel like we're gonna get elements of that in these episodes, which I just cannot wait to see. As well as the continuation of her story.
Wasn't that show called 1313 or something like that? It was like Level 1313 or...
I think that might have been the code name, but I think it was actually called Underworld, Ben.
Wasn't it Underworld 1313? I don't know. I just remember it was something about the level, of course.
Level 13?
Level 13, maybe. I think it might have been, but I what's really cool is with all we've heard about this season is this is the last, for now, this is the last piece of Star Wars content visually that George Lucas really had a massive hand in. And I think that's just so cool. We're going to get some of that underworld element in this show. So I can't wait for Ahsoka's return.
Wait, can Jeff come to the camera? Because he keeps walking by and I have to call him out because you guys, this is Jeff Graham. This is who always produces us from the booth.
Jeff Graham.
But he's obviously we're fan. Not in the producer booth.
Yeah, he always produces
Jeff, us. You're not being sly. Not
yeah, he always produces us. You're not being sly. Jesus. Oh, he's hiding.
Jesus. God. Yeah. He's like a prop.
I know. He's not being sly. He's
like a prop. Okay,
he's like a
Ryan, yeah. This is totally your section of news because your boy, Damon Lindelof, who you are totally a big Damon Lindelof fan, says he would make a Star Wars project when he's not blamed for ruining it. All right,
so a couple things. I'm really
curious. Does that make you sad? Because that sounds like a never.
So a couple things. I'm really curious to hear. Right, so I think this opens a bigger conversation. First of all, Damon Lindelof, Watchmen, The Leftovers, and Lost is what he's known for. Show running, really big TV writer, and he's been tweeting about Star Wars, saying like he'd love to do a project. However, he was also tweeting this about Marvel too, because he saw a lot of the concept art for WandaVision. And he's like, this is the stuff he'd be interested in kind of working on and moving towards. But he basically did a backhanded compliment saying when he's not blamed for ruining it, because most people who get involved in Star Wars nowadays are just blamed for ruining things. I want to open that up. Do you guys think that turns a lot of creatives off from even entertaining the idea of doing Star Wars because they know it might just generate negative PR for themselves? Ben, what do you think?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to have like really tanked Rian Johnson's career. I mean, did you see Knives Out? It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
The other thing is, unless you're, I don't know. George Lucas was blamed for ruining Star Wars. So you can't win. You know, every time something Star Wars is released, I've got a close friend who's a writer who hates The Mandalorian, hates it, says it ruined Star Wars. He used that term. The Mandalorian ruined Star Wars for him. And he's like, I guess I'm in the minority here. And he is, because everybody loves The Mandalorian because it's awesome. But yeah, everybody who touches Star Wars is the originals are just so cared about and so precious to people that really anything else, if you don't satisfy the headcanon of over a billion people individually, then you've ruined Star Wars. So there's no winning it. Right. If you touch Star Wars, I would say I encourage more directors and writers and people to take the reins of something Star Wars and do what they will with it. Do something creative, do something awesome, because regardless of what you do, you will be blamed for ruining Star Wars, and that's just the long and short of it.
Should
we let the Wookiee win?
Yeah, that was a really, really, really good point. We're with you. But no, seriously, that made me think of something that made me think of what my opinion is a bit. I think that's just kind of... he doesn't want to do a Star Wars movie. I think a true creator and one at that level of genius who's just made so many great projects wouldn't be worried about, I mean, they might be worried about critical reaction, but no matter what, what sets Rian Johnson apart is that he still made a good film by any standpoint. When you look at his cuts, his editing, his choices, it's a great film. So it's not like you fucking suck at directing, dude. It's like, no, some people just didn't like the story that was told, right. But you yeah. wouldn't,
right.
I don't think it would tank your career if you were good.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting topic just because I think Damon Lindelof, he's like my favorite TV writer or showrunner in general. I love every story he's told on TV so far. I think he'd be such a unique pick for Star Wars and taking it in a new direction. This is more of a commentary on some of the fandom. I agree with Ben. I think the negative voices are sometimes louder than the positive, but I think there are an overwhelming amount of positive fans compared to the negative fans. It's just sometimes the negative voices are a little louder. And I think just on social media, sometimes it seems like there's more haters than there are embracers or lovers.
Wait, really quickly, You guys, we like this woman right here. We have other royalty in the chat who just super chatted us. Jennifer Lopez, she's one of our fellow producers. She gave us $5 in the super chat and said, I will definitely start my Star Wars journey during this quarantine. Love you guys.
We are already succeeding. That is a win.
Yes.
Thank you, J-Lo. You're the best.
Oh, I was just going to ask Ben if he reads the comics.
Ben, do you read the comics?
So I do read the comics. I'm reading I read the main Star Wars comic. I have read the previous two iterations of the Darth Vader comic. I am not reading the current Darth Vader or Kylo Ren comic because I was going to wait until they came out in trade.
But
you might start. You might start. To stop on the transition, but like we found out some details this week on that Star Wars comic.
Did you hear about it?
Oh my god.
So Ben Cleaver, did you happen to read the latest Star Wars issue?
The main Star Wars line?
Yes. Where we got to see what happened. Oh, he's got it. So we got to see, guys.
This one right here.
I think it's one right after.
Dare I show the final page on the broadcast?
I'm going to Jedi mind trick you to do that. Maybe a little faster.
The freaking freak.
What?
So that's
if you can't tell, that is Princess Leia frozen in carbonite.
I think that was the second most recent one where she that's how Leia actually that's how she learned how to unfreeze Han.
Yes.
So there is a newer one. But in the newer one
it came out yesterday,
where Luke's lightsaber fell after he got his hand chopped off in Empire Strikes Back. We actually get to see on Bespin, on the Cloud City, we have to see a ground floor where it fell, which is really cool. And there's like a junker that found it. We don't know what happens past that, but there are details that I think we're going to slowly fill in the blanks between then and when Maz Kanata has it.
Well, and there is a scene in that one that I have right there that where he opens the door and he sees the massive junk pile. Because he went back to find his lightsaber.
Right.
And there's giant junk piles. But if one came out this week, I did not read that one.
Well, it's exciting. We're filling in the blanks on that. And I think these comics, again, in a time like this, Ben even spoke about it on Con Guy. Ben is one of the hosts on our Con Guy show every Monday night. It's the time to support a lot of the comics because it's hard to go out and get the physical copy in a time like this. But the Star Wars comics are awesome, and we should all support them. They're really dope right now.
Yeah, they're really good.
Boom.
Agreed. Right, let's.
Should we do our fun game?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. So today, Luke Skywalker was trending because people were talking about the idea of him being the best at social isolating because he just dipped on everyone for quite a while. And I think that makes a good argument, but I know that both Ben and Ryan have different arguments. And let us know in the chat right now who you think would be the best at social distancing in the Star Wars galaxy. And then let's talk about it right now. Ben, what do you think?
Okay, I've got different lists here. First off, what about Yoda? I mean, he went to Dagobah. He was there. Luke had the Landi caretakers on Octo on the island with him, so not entirely isolated.
Oh, please.
So first off, second of all, Darth Vader, that's the ultimate N95 face mask, his suit. The third, Emperor Palpatine, didn't see him for the first
time. That's my pick.
Right?
That is my pick. I think Emperor Palpatine is the best social distancer there because sometimes you don't even know if he's alive.
When he shows up for our first time seeing him in Empire Strikes Back, or not Empire Strikes Back, I'm sorry. Well, he does kind of in Empire Strikes Back. But when he shows up physically for the first time in Return of the Jedi, he He gets off the ship, walks through, then goes up to a room where he's just got two dudes standing 42 feet away from him. And that's it. They're in full face mask and robe. So, I mean, you know.
Wait, you know who I think?
Who?
Ben Kenobi.
Who?
He was in Ben. He was stuck in Tatooine. No one knew where he was. That's the worst place to be stuck. And chilled. And then saved the day.
Just beyond the Dune Sea.
Exactly.
Yo, he might. Okay, that's a good one. All right,
no
Steph
one knew
Sabra.
Where he, yeah, or maybe Yaddle, because we've only seen her once.
Yaddle.
She's just
yeah,
in episode
Yaddle,
one,
Yaddle,
right?
We don't really know what's going on there.
Exactly, but she lives as young as Yoda.
Where do you think Baby Yoda came from?
That's a good
oh
pick.
My god.
I think what was my pick?
I was gonna go with
at first I was gonna go with Sheev Palpatine, but then I realized because when I was watching Episode 9 last night, the Knights of Ren and all these other Sith beings are kind of around him at all times. So he's pretty close. He keeps his friends close, but enemies closer. But from a safe distance.
You really got me, Steph,
with that Obi-Wan pick. He might be the best social.
Anytime you talk about social isolation or boredom or any of that, I just instantly, Tatooine must be like the worst place. It must be like Fresno, California. Like, you don't want to be there.
The only other one I could possibly think is
maybe Snoke?
I think maybe Snoke.
Like Snoke.
He comes from a region no one really knows.
He's at a party in episode nine
with like 80,000 dancers.
You're right. I just met, he was the best at dipping out and no one knew.
But wait, we're forgetting a huge one, you guys.
Rey Skywalker, of course.
Oh, no, I'm gonna ante up here. I'm going. Rey's parents are the best social distancers because Rey's parents left her, and they don't give a F, man. They social distanced themselves away from Rey when she was like four.
They're dead.
Yikes! Yeah, we found. Before episode 9, they were the best, and now not so much.
Yeah.
Is death the ultimate social distancing?
Ben, you have another point.
Force ghost.
For the risk of that message getting out, no. That's bad. Yeah. That's a bad thing.
Also, I mean, they do repeatedly say they'll always be with you.
It's true. So,
yeah, that's true of life.
Someone in the chat just said, what about an Ewok? They're like near each other a lot.
Yeah, what? They're all about community.
Yeah, they're tribal.
It is.
A lot of Obi-Wans.
The only other thing I would think
Steph,
of
think
is maybe, what about Theo? Our newest droid who was left alone for a long time.
That's a pretty good social distancer. He was turned off. So I don't even know if he had a choice.
You're right. All right.
Oh, that's pretty brutal.
Well, Ryan, do we have to wrap things up? I know it's 5 o'clock.
We have time for one more thing, and then we gotta start wrapping it up, Steph.
Okay, perfect.
Only if you have the time.
What's our one more thing?
Well, yeah,
guys, all these people are stuck in quarantine. I thought it'd be fun to come up with some Star Wars activities while you're in isolation. The one I've been executing on a daily basis is every morning I make some toast or bagels with this toaster.
Oh my god!
It's a stormtrooper helmet. You put it in, and it comes out, and it has the Imperial symbol on the toast.
Nice.
And it's delicious. I'll tell you, this morning I made a tuna melt, and
before I put the tuna on the bread, I stuck it in here and just boom, amazing, delicious. So that's my Star Wars quarantine activity.
And
now remember, you can still go outside. That is a thing you can still do. It's not, you don't just have to stay inside your house. I guess similar to Ryan's, we have a Darth Vader Instapot. So we cook up a lot of stuff in that. That was actually purchased by my wife.
But oh, wait, quick second to just shout out Ben's wife. I've never met her, but I know a little of her now, and she's like the shit.
She's okay, pretty
continue,
cool.
Ben. Continue.
Thank you very much. She is the shit. It was her idea to get married on May the 4th, and that is my wedding anniversary. So
what an awesome. So good.
Yeah. The other thing I'm going to do, I'm going to catch up on Clone Wars. I'm still in season one of Clone Wars, so, you know, as long as I got the time, catching up on my stories.
Yay! I'm definitely going to watch more Clone Wars. Also, I was just thinking, I have my props here. Maybe I can make, like, a stop animation film, like, oh, remix edition, like, super dramatic. Leia leaves Han, and now she's looking at Chewie. Chewie home-wrecked his boy's situation, and here he is to swoop in and steal the girl.
Let the Wookiee win.
The Wookiee win. Start the hashtag. He's got the girl of his dream.
Hashtag.
That's,
let the Wookiee win.
That's the quote of our episode.
Let the Wookiee win.
Dude, Greg in the chat wants to see the toast and wants to see the pot.
Make it toast or it didn't happen.
Make it toast or it didn't happen. Guys, we got to come up with some fun games like this for future apps due to this virus. But I'm so happy we got to make this work today. Steph, thank you so much for the birthday shout out.
No problem.
It's awesome. This is the type of stuff, you know, it's great to look forward to. And especially during a time like this.
Especially during a time like this. Ben, grab your Chewie.
No, my Chewie. Here he is. Sorry, I was looking at the chat. Oh, there we go.
Okay, boom. Ben, in the meantime, what are you up to? Where can people follow you? What are you working on?
So it's a little slow in the industry right now, for obvious reasons. But you can find me on all social media at Ben Kleiber. That's BenKleiever. I don't know if Ryan can throw anything up there or not, or it's in the description down below. But I'm working with my production company, Jasmine Street Films. We're working on some new stuff right now. If you go to YouTube and search Jasmine Street Films, you'll find our film. We've got a couple things up there right now. We've got a comedy sketch called The Audition, and I believe we have our dramatic short film that we've been entering into festivals and has recently played the Hollywood Independent Reel. It's called Charles Jensen, which I also star in. Go check those out. We're going to be releasing more content very soon. Quarantine content.
Wait, Ben, you're so awesome. We're going to put all the... Can you just make sure to provide us the link so we can put that in the description? Because I want to make sure everyone follows you. Ryan, where can we find you?
You can find me at in quarantine for who knows how long. And also on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Nilsen, R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N, Ryan Nilsen _ on the Instagram.
Yeah, you guys, talk to us while we're quarantined, because all we have is each other. You can find me all over social media at Steps Abroad. But Ben, you rock. I want to watch all your stuff. I want to meet your wife one day. And other than that, I hope everyone's staying home, staying safe, and around love and good people and Star Wars, of course. But until next time, may the Force be with you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.